Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, September 25th, 2025. Beginning at the top of the page, Iroquois Livingston officials work to find transportation service, by Carla Waters, managing editor. Iroquois County officials say they are working to find transportation for the county's show bus riders after the service contract was canceled. Livingston County, the administrator of the grant from the Illinois Department of Transportation that funds the service, posted public notice September 19th, signed by Livingston County Board Chairman James Carley. That notice reads, effective immediately, Livingston County has terminated its service contract with ShowBus for public transportation services in Livingston and Iroquois counties. The service for public transportation is funded in large part by state and federal grant funds. This difficult decision was necessary due to ShowBus failing to comply with the terms and conditions of their agreement with the county and failing to adhere to provisions of the grant requirements of the state of Illinois and the Illinois Department of Transportation. Livingston County remains fiscally obligated to ensure that all contracted services meet these critical standards. We recognize public transportation is a vital need for our citizens, and we want to assure the community that Livingston County continues to work diligently to identify a suitable service provider and minimize any reduction in service. Our priority remains ensuring that residents continue to have safe and reliable transportation options. Thank you for your patience and understanding as we move quickly to address this transition. Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducotte issued a written statement September 23rd that affirmed Carley's statement. He said, the Livingston County State's Attorney recommended action needed to be taken, which resulted in the immediate termination of ShowBus in both Iroquois and Livingston counties. Ford County utilizes the services of another transportation provider. Iroquois and Livingston County are working diligently to identify a suitable replacement transportation provider and minimize any reduction service. Our priority remains ensuring that residents continue to have safe and reliable transportation options. He too thanked everyone for patience and understanding as the officials find a solution. Old Opera House Demolition Discussed Again in Watseka, by Carla Waters, managing editor. The Watseka City Council agreed September 23rd to get updated demolition information for the old Opera House building. Alderman Mark Garfield said he asked for discussion on the roof of Traditions Bar and the Opera House to be put on the agenda. When I became alderman, I actually promised I'd stay up on this. I asked the mayor if it could be on the agenda, he said. There are several issues with this matter. The council has discussed the old Opera House building, which some refer to as the old J.C. Penney's building. It is next to Traditions Bar, and owner Mary Jones has said to the council several times that the old Opera House building is in such disrepair that it is damaging her building with water leakage and other issues. You and I have spoken, Garfield said to Mayor Benny Marcier. I know you want to talk to Mary at least one time, and that's the last I heard, so I just wondered if there was anything else since you talked to her, Garfield said. I spoke to her in May when I first became mayor, Marcier said. I had consulted with Joe Kane Carr, our attorney. The thought was to have the insurance adjuster look at her roof and give us an estimate of what the cost and what was actually going on and what needed to be done. We've never heard from the insurance adjuster. Her insurance or ours? Garfield asked. Marcier said, "It is Jones's insurance adjuster." Marcier said he has not been in contact with her. Her only comment was that she didn't want her insurance rates to go up. But I don't think her insurance rate will go up if she just has somebody look at it. "I'm just following up," Garfield said. "And as far as the JCPenney's building goes, it's not getting any better," Garfield said. "I actually have been contacted about concern about the risk management on our side of it falling. I'll go back to what I stated to the candidates forum. I pray to God the Elks Club is not full when that thing comes down. I will still be an advocate for tearing that thing coming down. It needs to come down. It's not getting any better now that the tarp is off of it. It's got water going in it. We know it has water going in it. You can look in the window and see water in it. We've had people passing through town trying to gain access into it. We had them sleeping in the doorway last month. I saw it in the morning going through town." Garfield referred to a paper placed in his mailbox, which he said was a comparison of the cost of demolition versus the cost of stabilizing the building. He said the demolition bid at the time the bid was given was $532,631, and to stabilize it would be $498,315, which is a $34,316 difference. "Why aren't we tearing this thing down?" he said. Alderman Charlie DeWitt said, "What are we stabilizing it for? For what? What if that thing falls down and kills somebody?" Alderman Yamai Rolfs said she had first thought it would be good to save the building, but looking at the cost and other factors, she has changed her mind. "We need to get a new quote from the contractors, see what the actual cost is, and not only one place. We need to get quotes from different contractors." She said she would like to have them also give the details of how the demolition would happen with the process broken down. Marcier said when he became mayor, he asked for some time to deal with the issue. "I have since spoken to some state representative to try to get some assistance. I have also applied for a grant, and you guys saw the results that we didn't get in. I am understanding the thought and somewhat in agreement with you, Mark. The only thing I'm going to ask now is that, like Yamai is saying, we need to get an updated current demolition price." Garfield said the one we have was from June 10th, 2025. "This is the one you handed me," he said. Marcier asked Garfield to work closely with building inspector Eric Brandt to get a new bid. Garfield said he would take care of it. Garfield is also tasked with talking with Jones about the issue with her building. "Let's see where that goes and maybe get some new information," Marcier said. And there's a photo showing the Opera House, and that the city will get updated bids to demolish the Opera House at the corner of 3rd and Walnut Streets. Unit 9 School Board hears reports on first weeks of school year. By Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Unit 9 administrators reported to the school board about the first few weeks of school. The board met September 16th at the unit office. Watseka Community High School Principal Kyle Nevilles said that the first weeks have been going well. "The first month has been filled with a lot of great moments," he wrote in his report to the board. "Someone asked me what surprised me the most about the first month, which I thought was a great question. I shared that I was impressed with how quickly our students took to some added structure and the rate that we saw student pride increase over the first few days. Not sure if you noticed, but our first football game had a pretty large student section. The goal is to keep that stuff up and build upon it. The start of school was a lot of fun for us. WCHS is a great place to be, and we're proud of that. Nevels has plans to create a principal's advisory board. He said it will include two students from each grade at the high school. The students will meet with Nevels to give feedback on the school and help provide leadership and guidance. I see this as an opportunity for me to teach them a bit, as well as hear their voices to help improve our building, he said. Each month, the group will focus on a skill or attribute of study. He also talked about the Like a Warrior initiative. Our anchor for the year has been Like a Warrior, where we're focused on how our students think, act, and lead, he said. These will directly tie into the Student of the Month, where we'll highlight students who are doing those things every day. Each month, we'll focus on one of those qualities. We also have a few fun things planned, like getting Students of the Month some nice parking spots, t-shirts, and maybe some lunch perks. We also intend to highlight the students on social media to promote positive engagement and thank them for their hard work. Junior high principal Stephen Rigsby also talked about some of the happenings at school. The school year is in full swing, and we are off to a great start with WJHS, he wrote in his report. Our faculty, staff, and student body have already coordinated our STAR testing, and we have begun our replacements expectations have been set, and we are working on creating continued incentives and rewards to enhance our student morale and investment in our testing. We are embracing the growth mindset as we chase our goals with an emphasis on student growth over each period of time. We were blessed and fortunate to announce one of our own students, Quinn Butso, was named the winner of the ICANN Life Education Center contest to create artwork for billboard marketing in Iroquois and Kankakee counties. Her artwork was chosen from hundreds of student submissions in Iroquois and Kankakee counties. The project is part of an ongoing push year after year in our very own Mrs. Ashley O'Brien's science class. She was ecstatic to hear we had a winner for the first time in her tenure overlooking the project. Quinn's artwork is currently displayed on a billboard in Kankakee County and will be on a billboard in Iroquois County in October. We are so very proud of Quinn and Mrs. O'Brien for all their hard work. Rigsby said, fall sports seasons are winding down, and students are also currently participating in science club activities, speech team practice, marching band practices, and a whole host of other extracurricular opportunities. We take pride in all the opportunities our students have to get involved. The WJHS Ute Council met for the first time Wednesday, August 27th, to get organized for our annual meat raffle, our fantastic incentive days, teacher appreciation goodies, and our student dance / activities planned for the year. Thanks to the continued dedication of the folks on this council, we will be able to create rewards and memories for our student body during and outside our school hours that are above and beyond what most could imagine. We have also begun our school safety drills in an attempt to prepare for all forms of emergency situations. We had our first tornado drill in correlation with the local siren test here in Watseka on Tuesday, September 2nd. We will have our first planned fire drill on Monday, September 15th, and our intruder drill with law enforcement on Monday, September 22nd. We are being very intentional about creating the safest possible environment for our student body. Glen Raymond Elementary School Principal Erica Sternberg said, "Meet the Teacher on August 18th was well attended. We had a great turnout with approximately 91% of our student/parents attending," she wrote in her report. "It was great to meet all the students and parents. We are also very thankful for the PTO who arranged for us to have a back-to-school balloon arch for our students to take pictures in front of as they entered and exited the building." She said, "Students completed STAR entry testing the week of August 25th through 29th. This data, along with data/information from the classroom teachers, will be used to determine which students will need RTI services and in which tier each student will be placed. Our first RTI grade level meetings are scheduled for October 8th. Parent-teacher conferences are October 28th and October 30th. Many parents signed up for a conference day time at Meet the Teacher, but staff are currently reaching out to those families who have not scheduled a time to get one scheduled that works best for each parent," she said. Sternberg said, too, that the GRS Incentive Committee has been meeting to discuss incentive ideas for our students. "The goal this year is to offer various incentives that are based on academic achievement, attendance, behavior, and/or our school theme of be safe, be respectful, be responsible." Iroquois Federal and the Watseka Public Library are partnering this year to visit some of the 2nd through 5th grade classrooms starting in October. Sternberg said units will include lessons on banking, money, saving, checking accounts, etc., along with some modules and breakout activities. "We are very excited to have them come visit our classrooms." And there is one obituary. Jerry Lee McVicker. "In memory of our beloved father and loving husband, it is with deep sorrow and boundless love that we announce the passing of our cherished father, a loving husband, grandfather, and great-grandfather, Jerry Lee McVicker, who left us peacefully on September 11, 2025, at the age of 83. Born on September 3, 1942, in Danville, Illinois, Jerry was a man who brought light and laughter wherever he went. Known for his warm smile that lit up a room and contagious laugh, he had a way of making anyone and everyone feel welcome and valued. He was a devoted father, proud and loving grandfather, whose greatest joy came from spending time with his children and grandkids. Above all, he was married to his first love, the love of his life, Alberta Burt McVicker, where they shared 60-plus years of a blessed marriage. Whether Jerry was sitting on the porch sharing stories, cheering from the sidelines at a grandchild's game, or simply enjoying a family meal, he found happiness in life's most meaningful moments, those spent together. A lifelong lover of the outdoors, Jerry found peace on the golf course, joy with a fishing rod in hand, or at the helm of a ski boat. His stories of the fish that keeps growing in size or the one that got away will live on, just as his legacy will, in the hearts of all who knew and loved him. Jerry is one to emulate in the way he lived his life and loved others. He is survived by his wife, Alberta, daughters Leanne and Jamie, his son, Nathan, 6 grandkids, Connor and Caleb Little, Alexis and Riley McVicker, Tyler Price and Paisley Platfoot, 1 great-grandchild, Cairo McMichael, his sister, Carolyn Crane, and many dear friends, each of whom carry a piece of his spirit, his humor, and his love. We will miss the sound of his laugh, the wisdom of his advice, and the comfort of his presence each and every day. Rest easy, Dad, husband, grandpa, and brother. The world is a little quieter without your laugh, but our hearts are forever louder with your love. We'll take it from here. And now, inspirational. 3 inspiration awards to be presented during Watseka Homecoming Week. The 2025 Watseka Community High School Inspiration Awards will be given out during the homecoming/alumni reunion weekend of October 3rd and 4th. The Inspiration Awards began in 2007. This year's honorees include the 2014-15 volleyball team. The 2014 Watseka Warriors volleyball team brought home the 3rd place trophy from the IHSA 2A volleyball state tournament after a historic 36-4 season led by head coach Krista Pufall. The Warriors spent much of the season winning championships and rewriting the volleyball record books. The Warriors captured championship trophies from the Cisna Park Tip-Off Tournament, the Watseka Invitational, and the Sangamon Valley Conference Tournament. During the postseason, the Warriors' magical run continued when they defeated Bishop McNamara in Kankakee to win the regional. They then knocked off Westmont at the Beecher Sectional before defeating Elmhurst IC at the Super Sectional held in Chicago. Watseka made their first volleyball state tournament appearance facing Dakota in the IHSA 2A semifinals. Dakota defeated the Warriors 25-21, 25-18, ending dreams of a state championship. Overcoming a slow start in the 3rd place game, the Warriors came back to defeat Edwards County 16-25, 25-16, 25-13 to bring the 3rd place trophy to Watseka. The 2014 Warriors also had some outstanding individual performances. Senior All-Stater Taylor Bauer, 427 kills. Senior Maddie Fingston, 830 assists. And senior Natalie Costengai, 294 digs, each setting single-season school records. Devin Curry Lindemann. Devin Curry Lindemann graduated from Watseka High School in 2014 as the all-time leading scorer in Lady Warriors basketball history, amassing 2,205 career points. Upon graduation, she also held school records in career assists, 665, assists in a season, 205, steals in a game, 10, and career three-point field goals made, 218. A 4-year starter for the Lady Warriors basketball team, Devin led her teams to an impressive 84-21 overall record, including 2 regional championships, 2013 and 2014, and a trip to the Sweet 16 in 2013. In 2014, Devin was chosen to both the AP and IBCA All-State teams and also participated in the IBCA All-Star Game. She capped off her high school career by winning the IHSA three-point competition at the 2014 state tournament, defeating Tyra Buss, who holds the record for points scored in IHSA history. After graduating from WCHS, Devon continued her basketball career at Milligan University, where she was a four-year letter winner. She scored 1,098 career points and was a 92.2% career free throw shooter, 237-257. During the 2016-17 season, she led all NCAA Division III players in free throw percentage, 94.6%. Outside the gym, she lettered 2 years in track at WCHS and also excelled in softball, where she lettered 2 years and ended with a .398 career batting average. At Milliken, she played three softball seasons, concluding her career with a .298 batting average. Kathy Pugh Casey attended WCHS from 1981 to 1985, graduating in 1985 as valedictorian. Besides being an exceptional academic student, she also excelled in sports, especially track and volleyball. During her stellar track career, Kathy simultaneously held seven school records, with her records in the 100-meter low hurdles 14.7, 200-meter low hurdles 29.3, and 800-meter relay 150-94, still standing today. Over her 4 years at the Watsika Conference meet, she won nine individual and three relay events. She earned seven individual firsts and a second in a relay in her four sectional meets. As a teammate, she earned various honors, including Most Improved, Most Valuable Player, and Team Captain. Kathy qualified for the state meet in the individual hurdle events all 4 years. Her best performance came in 1985 as she finished fourth in the 100-meter low hurdles, with the same time as the first-place finisher, and third in the 200-meter low hurdles with the same time as the second-place finisher. Her total of six state medals ties for the most medals earned at the state meet by any Watsika athlete. Kathy earned the bronze medal in 1984 and the silver medal in 1985, competing in the 100-meter low hurdles at the Olympic-style Illinois Prairie State Games. She was invited to compete in the 55-meter low hurdles at the Pepsi Challenge Classic at the Rosemont Horizon in 1985, being one of only two Class A entrants to be invited. During her high school volleyball career, Kathy was a varsity starter for three regional championship teams, having led with 16 service points in the team's 1984 regional win. Individually, she was named to the Watsika All-Conference team, the Daily Journal All-Area team, and the Watsika All-Tourney team. She was a team captain, and earned Most Valuable Player honors for Watsika. Kathy went on to run hurdles for Princeton University's varsity track team and was a team captain and four-year member of Princeton's JV volleyball team. Kathy graduated with high honors from Princeton University in 1989, having earned an AB degree in economics with a mathematical concentration. Her senior thesis analysis on the effects of rising costs on college choice was published, and she toured other Ivy League universities to present the results of her analysis. She was awarded a Princeton in Asia Fellowship, where she developed a curriculum to teach English to elementary school children in Trang, Thailand, and created a new class and curriculum for adults in Trang using English as a second language. In 1993, she earned a Juris Doctor degree from Georgetown University Law Center with honors. She was awarded the John M. Olin Fellowship in Law and Economics and was editor of the Georgetown Immigration Law Journal. Kathy was selected in 2021 as the first general counsel to the John G. Shedd Aquarium in Chicago, where she also serves as vice president and corporate secretary. Prior to joining Shedd Aquarium, Kathy was a litigation partner at one of the largest top-tier international law firms, earning awards for her community and pro bono work, and she held general counsel positions at two of the largest public accounting firms in Chicago. This has been Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, September 25th, 2025.